Odd is therefore also the conveyor of our physical sensations. Hence, if the odd is forced out of a limb of your body, that limb also loses all feeling. The odd may be forced out of the entire body or out of parts of the body in a great many ways. It may be expelled by strokes or by internal ruptures that interfere with the operation of the blood as the odd carrier. Physicians habitually expel the odd by means of anesthetics. Alcohol consumed in excess will also cause the expulsion of odd and thereby bring on partial or complete insensibility. The sense of feeling returns as soon as the body has gotten rid of those foreign substances. Contrarywise, feeling persists even after a corporeal limb has been separated from its body, for the odic body of a terrestrial being remains intact, even after a limb of the corporeal body has been removed. A person who has lost a leg, therefore, still has the odic leg, and since odd is the conveyor of feeling, the person often feels as though he had not lost the corporeal limb at all, even after it is gone. He feels pains in the knee, the calf, the heel or the toes of a leg that is no longer part of his body. Anyone who has undergone amputation will bear out this statement. Because the odd remains with the spirit when the latter leaves the body at corporeal death and is the conveyor of physical sensations, it is possible for the disembodied spirit to experience the same sensations as a spirit still inhabiting the material body. For this reason, the spirits of the departed are able to feel pain as acutely as they could during their earthly life. Spirits of those deceased who, because of the lives they led, have been committed to a lower, inferior sphere believe that they still inhabit the earth as human beings. This is because, first, they still have the same sensations they had as living human beings. Second, they look upon their odic bodies as bodies of flesh and blood, because the odic body has exactly the same shape and appearance as the material one. And finally, they have lost all recollection of their corporeal death. The odd of each living being has a distinctive odor. Since odd is spiritual in its nature, its odor is perceived through spiritual powers of perception and not through the physical sense of smell. The odor of the odd of each living being differs from that of any other. Just as there are no two individuals with the same physique and the same features, so no two human beings have the same odd and the same odic odor. As every spirit, even a disembodied one, possesses an odic body, so, likewise, disembodied spirits have their own characteristic odd smell, which is the more unpleasant, the lower the spirit. That is why the old books, when reporting of the appearance of the devil, speak of his arriving with a vile stench. Due to the fact that the odd extends beyond the body in the shape of the aura, it can be perceived by others from its smell. Something of the odic scent of a living being adheres to every object that its odic radiations touch. It is by the odic scent that a dog can tell its master's belongings and tracks, and police dogs can trail criminals. Only when the original trail has been obscured by later ones whose odic scent is fresh does it become difficult or impossible to follow the old trail. The odic radiation of a living organism with its characteristic scent adheres not only to coarse-grained matter with which it came into contact, but also to such fine-grained substances as the ether through which the organism passed. Thus everything in creation leaves behind an odic trace of its presence that links the day of its coming into being with the last day of its life. I can best explain this by a material example. If a wagon laden with a finely ground substance, for example, flour, is driven along a road, and a constant stream of this substance runs through a crack in the bottom of the wagon to the ground, the course traveled by the wagon can be traced by following the trail of the substance, which is like a band connecting the point of departure of the wagon with that of its destination. Such a band is formed by the emitted odd of every creature on its way through life. It is the trail by which migratory birds find their way back to their homelands, and the swallow finds the same roof under which it had once built its nest. The odic sensitivity of these creatures is extremely well developed. You call it animal instinct. But this instinct is active only so long as they are in good health. Sick animals, because of the weakening of their odic powers, lose their odic sensitivity for following their own or another creature's trail. For this reason, migratory birds that are in poor health cannot find their way home, and a sick dog cannot follow its master's trail or its own. There are also human beings whose odic sensitivity is so great that they can perceive the odic scent of another individual at some distance and find it pleasant. They find the person likable or repulsive. They dislike the person, even if they have never met or otherwise come to know the individual in question. Mutual attraction or repulsion at first sight is merely the reaction to odic sensitivity. Hence the popular expression, they can't stand each other. In German, sie können sich nicht riechen. They cannot bear the smell of each other. Odd is among the most wonderful things in God's creation. The odic band not only keeps you in touch with everything with which you came into contact in life, but it also reflects your entire life. Every experience, every act, every utterance, every thought of yours is reproduced by it as in a film. It is the book of life, in which everything is recorded. It is a photographic record that retains and reproduces everything. It is a film that does not lie, and whose revelations cannot be denied. It is the evidence by which you will one day be judged by your Creator. For every terrestrial being, its predestined fate is imprinted in its odd from the outset and can be seen both in the odic body as a whole as well as in every particle of the odd. The fate of a being can therefore also be read in the odic particles adhering as emissions to everything with which that being has come into contact. Not all that you do or suffer in life is predestined. Most of it results from the self-determination of your own free will. Only the general path of your lives, together with certain turning points along that path, is predestined. What you do while traveling that path and how you act at those turning points is for you to decide. That is your responsibility. Your life has one purpose only, to raise your spirit to a higher level on the road that has been mapped out for you, to bring it nearer to God. Your path through life is one of tests. Its nature and length are fixed in advance. These you cannot change. The turning points on that path are intermediate exams, and corporeal death is the end of the path. Whether you do your duty as you go along the predestined path or not depends on your free will. Whoever passes the final examination, his spirit will continue to progress in the beyond until it reaches its final goal, union with God. Whoever fails must take the tests over again until he can pass them. Passing or failing are not predestined, but depend on your own merit or shortcomings. The Christian religions do not recognize this truth. They do not know that the Creator works like an architect who first draws the plans according to which a building is to be constructed. These plans do not give all the details of the interior construction of the building or of the materials to be used for that purpose, but only the outer contours. In a like way, God has laid out the major lines for the life structure of every individual, according to which life is fixed in outline, leaving each person free to decide upon the interior details. There are many references in the Bible to the fact that man's fate is predestined. Man does not even know the hour that has been set for him. Ecclesiastes 9:12, all the days of my life were set down in thy book ere they ever took shape. Psalm 139:16, and in the book of Ecclesiastes you read furthermore, everything that happens has been determined long ago, and from the beginning it is said what a person will experience, and no one can demand an explanation from him who is stronger than he. The subject is much talked about, but that is useless, for who knows what is good for a person in life? Ecclesiastes 6:10-12, my fate lies in thy hands. Psalm 31:16, the prophet Jeremiah utters the words, O Lord, I know that man's fate lies not in his own hands and that a person going through life may not direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10:23, their doom is rushing upon them. Deuteronomy 32:35. Birth and death and the span of life that lies between them are predestined and beyond man's control. No one, not even a physician, can therefore save a person's life. Every person dies at the appointed moment. No one has power over his day of death. Christ confirms this truth with the words, Who is there among you with all his worries who can prolong his allotted time of life by a single span? Just as a human architect can make alterations to his original construction plans, so it is within the realm of possibility for God, by way of exception, to permit changes in anyone's destiny. Only he can lengthen or shorten the time of a person's life. As the Bible also tells you, God sometimes prolongs the life of one of his servants who has proved faithful and shown himself to be a trustworthy helper in God's plan of salvation for winning back those who have fallen away from him. Thus to Hezekiah he sends the message, I will add 15 years to your life. 2 Kings 20, 6, he shortens the foreordained lifespan of others because they not only fail to perform the life work allotted to them but try to dissuade their fellow men from fulfilling their duty to God. These bloodthirsty liars will not live out half their days. Psalm 55, 24, by bloodthirsty liars the Bible does not mean those guilty of actual bloodshed on earth, but of killing the souls of their fellow men by enticing them away from God. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the days of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs 10, 27. God inspires the prophet Jeremiah to announce to Hananiah, this very year you will die, because you instigated people to disobedience towards the Lord. By the blood you have shed, by inducing people to separation from God, you have become guilty, and through the idols you have made you have defiled yourself and caused the days of judgment to draw near and you have come to the end of your years. Ezekiel 22, 4. The destiny of the various nations is also foreordained. You do not understand these matters because you have no true conception of the causes and ends of the great events of the world. Above all, you are ignorant of the purpose underlying the material creation and do not know what relationship exists between the incarnated spirit and God's creation. Of these things I shall tell you more hereafter. I have inserted my remarks relating to destiny because they were necessary in connection with my explanation of the Odic force, since otherwise you would not be able to understand what I am about to say about clairvoyance in its relation to Od. Clairvoyants are living beings, humans or animals, whose spirit is able to detach itself from the body to such an extent that its power of vision is similar to that of the spirits of the beyond, which have left their terrestrial bodies altogether. 76. A well-trained clairvoyant is able under certain circumstances to read the destiny of another person imprinted upon that person's Od. He can read the whole past of a person whose Od he sees, and not only the part that was predestined, but also those events that have already occurred as a result of the exercise of the individual's free will. Of the future, however, he can read only what is foreordained, but not that which depends on the person's free will. The manner of a person's death can be foreseen by a clairvoyant only when this also is predestined, for it is not a part of every person's destiny. As a matter of fact, what is foreordained in some cases is left for the individual to determine in others. It is only the hour of death that is predestined for everyone. In order for clairvoyance in this area to be possible, the clairvoyant must in some way establish contact with the Od of the person whose destiny is at issue. He must either have that person before him in the flesh so that the Odic emissions can reach him, or else he must touch some object that has been in that person's possession and to which, consequently, some of his Odic radiation clings. The ability of a clairvoyant to read sealed letters or to recognize objects he cannot see with his corporeal eyes is also based on this Odic radiation. The more powerful the Odic radiation emanating from the object, the more distinct the clairvoyant's vision. If a clairvoyant's spirit is able to detach itself completely from his body and actually to leave it, then it is in the position to follow the Odic trail of another person and to ascertain his whereabouts at the moment. Not all clairvoyance, however, comes about through Odic radiation. Many events that happen at a great distance from the clairvoyant are seen by him at the instant of their occurrence due to the fact that his spirit, having left the body, is present at the scene of the event, or else, even though the spirit remains with the body, because the news is imparted to him by the spirit world through clairaudience or shown to him in a picture through clairvoyance. The future of individuals with whose Odic radiations the clairvoyant has not come into contact, as well as the future of countries, peoples, cities and other communities can be seen by a clairvoyant only when it is shown to him by the spirit world by means of pictures. Producing such pictures, which may depict the coming events either with faithful accuracy or by means of symbols, is not difficult for the spirits charged with that task. Odd is the material employed by them for pictures of this kind. 77. The future of nations and other coming events were generally revealed to the prophets of the Old Testament by means of symbolic pictures. Odd also possesses color. This, too, varies for each creature, ranging from the deepest black through trillions of shades to the most resplendent white. You mortals cannot conceive of the diversity of these colors. On some autumn day, study the yellow of the leaves. Among all the leaves that have turned yellow, you will not find two that have exactly the same shade of yellow. A similar diversity is to be found in all the colors. I have repeatedly indicated to you where the reason for the great differences in the scent and color of Odd lies, namely in the spirits of living creatures. The lower the thinking and desires of a spirit in relation to God, the uglier it is as a spirit. Spirits, too, have shape. Your human spirits have the shape of your human body, or, to put it more correctly, your human bodies have the shape of your spirits. So also the bodies of animals are shaped like their spirits, for the physical body has the same shape as the odic one, and the odic body is shaped to conform completely to the spirit. With the help of the odd, the spirit builds up the physical body to correspond with its own image and its own shape. Your so-called scientists will of course ridicule you if you tell them that the incarnated spirits have the shape of the bodies that they inhabit. They cannot conceive of a spirit that has a shape. They believe that only what is material, limited by time and space, can have shape. They are sorely mistaken. Spirits are not shapeless, as indeed there is nothing in all creation that has no shape. Spirits have form and shape, and yet they are not bound by either time or space, as are material bodies. How, unless each of us has its shape, could we spirits recognize one another? The angel Michael is different from Gabriel, and Gabriel from Raphael and other spirits, to mention only these biblical characters. The fact of the matter is, then, that all spirits have shape, beginning with God and his high spirits, all the way down to the most hideously misshapen figures of the depths and to the spirit world incarnated in matter. Beauty is harmony and ugliness is disharmony. That is a law that applies to all creation. The most beautiful face in a portrait can be made utterly hideous by a disharmonious stroke of the brush. In the same way the spirit becomes the uglier in form, and especially in the features of its face, the more disharmonious its attitude toward the Creator, in whose image and likeness it was originally created. 78. Just as the odd surrounding the spirit takes on the latter's shape, so too it shares in the beauty or ugliness of the spirit's color and scent. For this reason you witness, in the materialization of spirits as it takes place nowadays, that the odd radiations of a good spirit give off a beautiful light and, as the condensation of the odd progresses, emit a sweet scent, whereas the odd of low spirits is shrouded in darkness and always causes an offensive smell. It is true that mortals cannot always perceive this scent, as it can be detected by your physical sense of smell only in rare instances. These are facts which your scholars have had ample opportunity to confirm. The harmony or the discord of the spirit is also transmitted through the odic body to the physical body. For this reason, a person's character is expressed in the lines of his body, particularly in the features of his face, and even in the shape of his limbs. Those who are familiar with this law can therefore read the character of the spirit from the lines and shape of the various parts of the body. Also the body's posture, its way of walking, and its gestures are expressions of the spirit. For this reason also a person's character can be judged from his handwriting. That is why the messages communicated through a human medium by the spirit of someone who has died will be written in the handwriting peculiar to the sender while he was alive on earth. The handwriting changes only when the character of the deceased has undergone a marked improvement in the beyond. Since a person's destiny appears pictured in his odd-like building plans and is transmitted by the odd to his physical body, it can be read also in the lines and marks of his body. Hence, whoever is familiar with these marks will be able to see at least a part of what a clairvoyant can see more fully in the odd. I could dictate to you a very interesting book on all of these interrelated facts, but it is not my task to enrich human knowledge. I am charged only with telling you enough of these matters to enable you to understand the facts of communication by spirits with the material world, and the laws on which that communication is based. Inasmuch as odd is spiritual in its nature, it also has the property, in common with spirits, of being unobstructed by matter of any kind, in the same way that it permeates its own, physical, body without meeting resistance. It can pass through any other matter, once it has left that body. There is nothing that can obstruct it. You have something similar in the case of so-called Röntgen rays, X-rays, so it will not be difficult for you to understand what I am saying. Furthermore, just as in nature powerful forces are developed under the influence of heat, accompanied by the formation of clouds, and become visible in the shape of lightning, so the spirit world can, with the help of the odd, create very powerful energy currents, either hot or cold. In the case of lightning you speak of hot flashes, which melt whatever they strike, and of cold flashes, which do not set fire to things but act only through the enormous pressure they exert. Heat expands and dissolves, while cold contracts and condenses. This is a law that applies not only to the world of matter, but to that of spirit as well. As you are able to convert matter into steam with the aid of high temperatures and even to cause this steam to become invisible to the human eye, so too is the spirit world able to dissolve matter completely. It also makes use of hot power currents, by means of which it converts matter into an odd-like, that is, etherealized form. For, as I have explained to you, all matter is nothing but corporealized odd, which can be dissolved into spiritual odd. Matter that has been converted into odd penetrates everything material without meeting resistance, just like all other odd, and it can be transported anywhere and then recondensed anew into matter. You speak of this dissolution of matter as dematerialization and of the condensation of odd into matter as materialization. Whereas the spirit world causes matter to dissolve by means of hot, high-power odd currents, it uses cold currents for condensing odd, in keeping with the general laws of nature. And just as you, when employing powerful terrestrial currents, observe great care so as not to be harmed, so the spirit world takes equal precautions when applying odic power currents. When you handle high-tension wires, you make use of so-called insulating devices. You speak of short circuits and similar contingencies. Likewise, when using odic currents for dematerialization or materialization in the presence of terrestrial beings, the spirits must use the same care in order to avoid harming these beings and to accomplish the desired dissolution or condensation of matter. For this reason, any unforeseen interference on the part of the participants at a spiritistic seance with the work of the spirit world may be dangerous for the medium, who serves as the power source, or for the participants, and may make the production of the desired phenomena more difficult or even impossible. For in this field also, such a thing as a short circuit is possible, unless timely provision has been made for the necessary insulations. 80. All this may sound entirely too human to you, but I cannot repeat too often that everything you have on earth in a material state exists also in the spirit world in a spiritual state, and without any exception. It is not easy for you to understand this, seeing that all the concepts of your thinking are derived from the world of matter, and you find it hard to translate these concepts into spiritual terms. The odd with which your own spirit works in your physical body requires a certain degree of condensation, as I have already pointed out to you, for a certain balance must be struck between spirit and matter. For the same reason, the spirit world, when working through corporeal beings, must condense the necessary odd to a degree suited to the purpose at hand. Light and heat constitute great obstacles to condensations of this kind. That heat is a hindrance you will readily see, since heat expands and dissolves. The fact that light may also be a hindrance to the condensation of odd you may at least surmise, when I remind you of the darkroom necessary for the development of your photographic plates. The condensation of odd in the presence of heat and in bright daylight is not entirely impossible, but it requires a quantity of odd so great that it is available to the spirit world for communicating with man only in the rarest instances. Otherwise, for creation and for the performance of a special assignment from God, the good spirit world has at its disposal odic force in unlimited amount and strength. It is therefore foolish and a sign of profound ignorance in such matters for people to ridicule the fact that many spiritistic phenomena can be produced successfully only in the dark. Many of your scientists even assert that darkness is insisted upon only so that spiritistic deceptions cannot so easily be seen. It would be as reasonable to demand of the photographer that he develop his plates in broad daylight instead of in a dark room and to call him a fraud because he can only do his developing in the dark. Unfortunately, almost everybody is ignorant of the fact that the work of the spirit world proceeds according to the same laws as those governing your actions on earth. What might be called odic feeding, a method of administering nourishment by means invisible to the human eye, which seems so incomprehensible to the human mind, is also accomplished by the dissolution and recondensation of odd. It happens that at all times there have been people who took no food whatever and still remained alive. In their case, nourishment is administered by spirit methods, the spirit world dissolving the food into odd and 81. Introducing it into the digestive tract in that state, there the odic food is condensed into material food and is digested. For this reason also those people who to you seem to have eaten nothing eliminate waste quite normally, as though they had eaten tangible food. This method of nourishment is always associated with other activities on the part of the spirit world in connection with the individuals in question. It is not an end in itself, but a link in a chain of events serving a higher purpose. From what I have told you so far, you will be able to deduce for yourself that sufficient odic power is a prerequisite for every task performed by the spirit world on terrestrial beings in a manner perceptible to your senses. Odic force is the fuel throughout all of God's creation, including the spirit's workshop on earth. The question now comes up of its own accord: where do spirit beings get the odic force they need for their communication with terrestrial creatures? You might conclude offhand that it would be sufficient for spirits to use their own odic force for their work with matter. This, however, is not the case, for spirit beings require their odic force to sustain their own life functions and to perform their work in the spirit world. Above all, however, the odd of the higher spirit world is far too fine and pure to combine with the very differently constituted odd of terrestrial beings. You two have fine substances that you cannot mix homogeneously with coarser ones. It follows that for its work on earth the spirit world must use odd of a type suited to the terrestrial odd, and, as a rule, it finds this odd in those terrestrial beings within whose domain that work is to be performed. Human beings, animals, plants and minerals are therefore the sources of odd from which the spirits take the necessary fuel, and these sources of odd you call mediums. Terrestrial beings that are able to spare sufficient odic force are said to be mediumistic. To a small degree, all terrestrial creatures are mediumistic, for all possess odic force and are able to spare part of it, but in most cases their ability to do so is so slight that using them as sources of odd for the activities of the spirit world is out of the question. Even the odic force of the mediums, although it may be sufficient in quantity, is not always fit for immediate use. It must first, in all cases in which it is to be used as a fuel by the higher spirit world, be purified, or, so to speak, filtered. Many of the substances you have on earth must be similarly filtered before you can use them. 82. Of course, the lower spirit world does not need to purify the odd of the mediums, for the more impure this odd is, the better it is suited to the odd of such spirits. Hence it is also much easier for them to use mediums for their purposes, and they arrive at this end much more quickly than do the higher spirits. What I now have to say about the use of odic force you could, as a matter of fact, discover for yourself by logical deduction from what I have already told you. It concerns finding an answer to the question: in what way does the spirit world employ terrestrial odd for work to be performed with material beings? The best and shortest answer would be: it uses the same means your own spirit must use to activate the material limbs of your body in order to perform acts that can be perceived by the senses. So, in most cases, must the disembodied spirit provide itself with limbs of matter to make such activities possible. It does this by clothing its spiritual limbs in the odd taken from mediums and appropriately condensed. Whenever your own spirit wants to grasp a material object, it can do so by means of your material hand. Your physical hand is really nothing but the shell of the materialized hand of your spirit, formed by the condensation of terrestrial odd.